G'day, this is Pastor Les Gomes from Transformers Christian Church. It's our desire that the message you're about to hear encourages you and helps you identify some valuable insights about your life and situation. As you listen to this message, it's really important that you think about how you can put what you learn into action. The only way you're going to see your life transformed is by putting the things you've learned to work. The Bible says we need to hear the word and also do it. Now, let's get into today's message.
Amen. Well, I'm going to be preaching a message this morning, and the title of it is The Essentials of Healing. And I guess I was meditating on this, and I thought, you know, if there was one message, if I could only have, say, 45 minutes or an hour to share with someone about healing, what would I share? What would be the essentials of healing that I would share? And so I'm going to try to put that into this message. Hopefully it won't take me more than an hour. I don't want to go long, but at the same time, I don't want to shortchange people. And so we'll believe God and we'll see how we go. Hey, let me say a couple of things before we talk about this. There's five major points that I have about the essentials of healing. And I talked this over with Joy, and she agreed with me as well. We compared notes, and I said, look, this is what I feel like are the absolute essentials. Hey. But before we get into that, I need to make a couple of introductory remarks. The first thing is, in reality, one message cannot cover everything. That's the reality. If one message could cover everything, well, we'd be all perfect by now, wouldn't we? Because I've preached, I think, a couple more than one. You know, if one message could cover everything to do with a topic, well, surely we would have exhausted all the topics by now. And we'd be perfected. You can't cover everything. And you know, a lot of times in the preaching, it's not like that there's new stuff that's being revealed. It's just reminding people of stuff they already know and saying, hey, don't forget this. You know, now stir that up within yourself and stuff. But there are some things that we can cover, some essential things. Hey? A big part of hearing the word and meditating the word is unlearning the wrong stuff so that we can relearn the right stuff. There's so many wrong ways of thinking that we've adopted, every one of us, in our lives. And that's why the Bible says you need to renew your mind. It's changing the way you think. It's unlearning the wrong and relearning it the right way. You know, I mean, for example, there's so many examples. There's people that plead and beg. I used to do the same. I used to plead and beg God to do certain things. Well, that's a wrong way of thinking, and it's a wrong way of approaching it. Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't have humility when you approach God. If you don't have humility before you approach God, there's no way you're ever going to get an audience with Him. The scripture says God's opposed to the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. But this begging and pleading and crying, you know, there's millions of people every day that are doing that, and it's not working. If God was moved by your begging and pleading and crying, well, then what's happening in all of these third world nations where people are begging and pleading and crying? That's not working, folks. And so we need to unlearn the wrong ways and relearn the right ways. And that's why we're often hearing the word and hearing the word and hearing the word. And so one message is not going to cover everything. Hey, I guess the unlearning and the learning is an ongoing process, and it can take time. But that doesn't mean that you can't be healed right now, as in Phil's case. It doesn't mean that you can't be healed during the service when no one's prayed. Like, no one prayed for Phil. He just got, his healing just flowed. Hey. It doesn't mean that you can't be healed in your body even as the message is being preached. Hey, and so much of that is because of God's willingness. God wants to heal. God wants to minister. He wants you well more than you want to be well. I know that can be hard to grasp, particularly if you've got pain in your body. You think, man, I want to get rid of this pain. God wants you well more than you want to be well. Hey, and He's more willing for you to be healed than you'll ever be willing. And so it's a matter of just cooperating, learning how we can cooperate with Him. If you've got a major condition, you know, if there's a major condition, even whether it's life-threatening or if it's a major condition but it's not life-threatening, or if you've got something that you've been battling with for a long time, I guess this message is something that will be really, really pertinent to you. There are things that we're going to share. These are things that Joy and I have applied in our lives many, many times. And certainly with major conditions, these are things that you can apply and see the word working in your life, hey? And okay, another point that I need to make before I talk about the essentials of healing. This needs to turn from my message, it needs to be turned into your revelation. Right? And I shared a little bit of this on Wednesday at the home group. You know, if you just hear me preaching a message and that's all, you're not going to get it. Hey, you can't go to God and say, look, Pastor Les said this, therefore on that basis, I'm believing for this. No, it's got to turn into your revelation. And how do you do that? Well, what you do is you listen to that message. If it's speaking to you, if it's something that's really ministering to you, you listen to it over and over again. You might take notes on it. You look up the scriptures that are referred to it. And eventually, you've listened to it so much, it's no longer what Pastor Les has said or what Keith Moore has said or what anybody else has said. It's become yours. You own it because it's just like you know it inside out. You've meditated on it and it's something that's just sunk into your heart. You need to turn it from my message into your revelation. If you want it to work, I'm talking about in any area, whether it's in healing or in finances or in believing God for your family, it needs to turn into more than just a message that you heard. It needs to be something that you know deep in your heart, that's the truth, and I'm holding on to that, and that's going to come to pass in my life. And, so, you know, along that lines, it's really important. You don't take what I say or anybody else says unless you can see it for yourself in the Word of God. You have no obligation believing what I say unless I can show it to you in the Word. And if I can't show it to you in the Word, well, then it's just my opinion and it's up to you whether you decide to believe that or not. But if you can see it in the Word, that's when you take it on board and you begin to own it for yourself. These things that I'm going to share are essential principles that Joy and I have discovered in order for healing to flow. It's not a formula. All right, everybody's looking for a formula, like, man, if I could tell me the 3 steps I need to do, or what are the 7 steps so I can get the Holy Spirit, or 9 steps to get God to do whatever I want. Everybody's looking for a formula, but do you notice there's no formulas in the Bible? Because it's not about a formula, it's about a person, and his name is Jesus. And he wants to walk with you, and he wants to journey with you. And I tell you, it is much, much better to walk with him who has everything. He has all of the answers. And the reason why it's not a formula is because it's not one size fits all. There are some principles, and I'll be sharing them with you, but there are some things that will be particular and unique about your situation that you need God's wisdom to open up and unlock, hey? And that's why it's more about... I'm going to share some principles with you, but it's understanding that it's not a formula. These things will work in your life, but you need to understand you need to be walking with the Lord. Hey, it's kind of like it's like you know, learning to play a sport. I know, Rod, you played cricket for a while, and you know, I remember as a young person, I played some tennis. Now you can go and you can pick up a tennis racket or a cricket bat. And get a couple of, you know, like, okay, what are the rules? Yep, okay, so if I bowl it, I've got to keep a straight arm. And if I hit it, I'm allowed to hit it, you know. Are you allowed to hit it with the back of the bat? There's no rule against it, is there? It's pretty silly, though. Like, it'll go in every direction because the back of the bat's... But anyway, you can learn some basic things and you can play cricket. But does that mean you're going to become, like, you know, the next Ricky Ponting just because you've been taught some basic rules? No, it doesn't mean that. If you want to get to that level, well, you're going to have to work it and develop it and practice it and learn more about it and get some coaching and get some tips, and eventually you'll get to higher and higher levels where it's really important that you even get videotaped on you doing certain things so you can see your form and your play and the way you're doing it, and you can study it and think, okay, I need to correct that. You know, I can see that I'm drifting that way and the ball's going to come that way. It's going to open me up or whatever, you know. And so the more you develop it, the more proficient you get. Well, it's exactly the same with the principles of God. So whether we talk about healing or finances or anything else, and today I'm focusing on healing, it's not one message But it's like, keep hearing it, keep listening to different people talk about it, and the more you do that, the more rounded you'll get in your whole game and the more proficient you'll get in moving in this area. I mean, that makes sense, doesn't it? It's pretty self-evident. Sometimes, you know, we can get in this thing, oh, well, this, where's one message? I just want one message about healing. Well, here's one message. But it can't just be one. You've got to be constantly developing and looking to improve and become more proficient. And certainly if you do that, you will become more proficient. If you have had a condition in your body, whether it's a life-threatening condition or a long-term condition, then I want to encourage you that that thing is in great danger with you being here right now. Unless you want to keep that condition. You know, I don't know whether the doctors have said there's nothing they can do or you know, whether you've come to a place where you've just thought, well, I guess that's it. This is my lot. This is what I'm going to have, you know. I want to encourage you, change that way of thinking. Who are the doctors? And I'm not trying to put down or speak disparagingly about doctors, but there's some things doctors should not say. It is wrong for a doctor to say it's impossible for that to change. Because when they say that, they're putting themselves in the position of God. They said that to Joy. They said it to Joy and I, and they said the condition you have is incurable. That's wrong. They should never say that. There's nothing wrong with a doctor to say, this is beyond my field. I don't know what to do. I have no idea how I can treat this. I cannot see a way. There's nothing wrong with them saying that. That's just being honest. But for them to say, no, that is incurable, or to say that is impossible, or that will never change, they're putting themselves in the place of God, and they're not God, are they? And I tell you what, you better believe they're not God, particularly if you're going to go see a doctor. Because the way doctors are trained these days, they will give you the worst case scenario. And deliberately so, because they don't want to be sued later. They don't want to be, you know, they don't want you or your family suing them later. Everybody is so on edge about being sued or being taken to court. Like, so they'll just tell you, look, you could die from here. You know, I thought it was just a cold. Yeah, but look, there is a 1% chance you could die by taking this pill. Or, you know, they'll give you the worst case scenario, and you need to know and understand that, like we sang, our God's an awesome God. And he's far greater than any circumstance or situation. So if you've had a condition for a long time, I want to encourage you, it's not God's will for you to be like that. And do not give up. God is more than able to turn around a situation that hasn't changed in a long time. Say amen if you believe that. He's more than able. More than that woman with the issue of blood, how long did she have that condition for? 12 years. Well, she went to the doctors for 12 years anyway. 12 years. And in an instant, it was changed. What about the guy that was blind that Jesus met and the disciples said, who sinned, him or his parents, that he's like this? How long had he had that for? He was born in that condition. The cripple man at the gate, beautiful, that Peter and John in Acts chapter 3 saw healed, they said, rise up and walk. How long had he been in that condition? He was born like that. What about the man at the pool of Bethesda who was lying there waiting for the angel to stir the water so he could jump in? How long had he had that condition for? 38 years. That's interesting. Hey, he didn't have an ounce of faith. Even when Jesus came to him and said, do you want to be made well? All he did was started to whinge. Oh, I wish I could be made well, but everybody gets in before me. You know, like, look at them. They've got people to help them. I've got no one to help me. And yet Jesus healed him. Hey, it is not God's will for you to be sick. And if you've had something for a long time, it's in great danger right now. Say an amen if you believe that. All right, so the essentials of healing. Number one, the absolute essentials. These are the absolute essentials to receive healing. The first thing is you must be fully persuaded that healing is God's will. You must be fully persuaded that healing is God's will. Have a look at Mark chapter 1. It is God's will for you to be healed. You have to be fully convinced of this. It is always His will for you to be healed. There's never an exception. There's never a situation in which it is not God's will for you to be healed. It is always God's perfect will that you be healed without a delay. Mark chapter 1. And verse 40, give me an oi when you're there. Now it says, now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Notice what this leper said. He said, if you are willing, you can make me clean. So this leper knew, you can make me clean. We all know God can do anything. Is that right? We know God can heal our bodies. We know God can provide abundance of finances. We know God can save our family. We know God can do anything. And this leper knew it. He said, you can make me clean. You can. What the leper didn't know is, will you? I know you can, but will you? And that's the challenge for you and I as well. Hey, in fact, this is the number one reason why people fail to receive. Without a doubt, I think this covers more than 60 or 70%. This is my opinion. This is not a scripture. But in my opinion, and certainly in my interactions with people, over 60 to 70% of the cases that we, in talking with people, it's they do not believe God wants them well. They know He can, they just don't know if He will. Like the leper. So here's a case where Jesus had a person come to Him and He said, I know you can, but will you? If you're willing, you can make me clean. Here was a case where Jesus could settle this once and for all. Because I've heard a lot of excuses of why people don't get healed. If you use any of these excuses, it's only because you do not believe. You're not persuaded that it's God's will. If you ever find yourself saying, I am sick for the glory of God, or something to that effect, well, maybe I've got this condition to bring glory to God. You know what that reveals? It reveals you do not believe that it is God's will for you to be healed. Because if you think that you've got that condition for the glory of God, you're not going to fight it. You're not going to resist it. Well, if you're the one that put it here, I guess I'm just going to have to endure it. Just going to have to wear this one. You got to settle that. Hey, you got to think about what's coming out of your mouth or what's going through your mind. If you're saying something like, I'm sick because I think He's trying to teach me something, well, that reveals you are not fully persuaded that it's God's will for you to be healed. God, I guess you've given this to me. What if you and I were to do that to our kids, hey? Imagine going up to our kids and lacing some cyanide or arsenic or something in their food, and they get really, really sick and they're vomiting and they're dry reaching and they're cramped and they're in the fetal position on the floor, and it's like, I did that. I put that in your food. Oh, what'd you do that for, Mum? I want you to learn something out of that. I want to teach you something. Man, I tell you what, if the authorities heard of us doing stuff like that, we would be arrested, hey? And where does that sense of right and wrong come from? It comes from God. God is not a child abuser. Why do we look at others and we can recognize something like that and say, that's child abuse, and why wouldn't we recognize the same if God was doing stuff like that? You need to sort that out in yourself. You need to be fully persuaded it is God's will for you to be healed always without delay. There's not a single second. He doesn't want you to have an illness or a negative condition in your body for one millisecond even. Why would Jesus go to hell if that was the case? What are we saying about that? If we think that, well, yeah, I guess I've just got to bear this one. You want me to learn something, God? I'm just going to give you glory through this. I have never seen anybody glorify God when someone's sick. You come and tell me if I'm wrong. I've never. Somebody comes up and says, oh, how are you going? Oh, the doctor said I've got a big brain tumor. Oh, praise God. Glory to God. You're bringing glory to God there. No way. I've never heard of that, hey? I've heard a lot of people bringing glory to God when they hear of a healing. When Peter got healed and people heard about the story of how he got healed, there was a lot of people saying, man, praise God. People glorify God when people are healed, not when they're sick. I've heard some people say, well, you know, I'm just waiting for God to heal me. I'm waiting for the right time. It's not God's time for me to be healed. If you're saying stuff like that, it's because you are not fully persuaded it's God's will for you to be healed. Because if you knew that it was God's will for you to be healed, you would understand that. Oh, did Jesus ever do that? Did he ever? He healed multitudes. He healed great multitudes. He healed thousands upon thousands. Surely there would be one single case where he encountered, where someone came to him, even this leper. And where Jesus said, you know what, I would love to heal you, but it's just not your time. You just have a good day though, hey? Not one case. And Jesus revealed the heart of God. God wants you to be well because he loves you, hey? And you don't have to earn or deserve your healing. It's not a matter of, well, you know, I guess if I pray enough or if I read my Bible enough or if I fast, then maybe God will heal me. If you're thinking like that, well, that attitude, that implies that God's in heaven with his arms folded, waiting for you to convince him whether he should open up his arms and give you something. No. No, you can't earn healing. God's already settled the issue of healing. He wants you well. He's already committed about healing. And here in Mark chapter 1, this leper, he says, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And verse 41, Jesus settled the issue once and for all. He said, then Jesus moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately, everyone say immediately. There's God's timing. Immediately. If you're waiting for God's timing, it's immediately. Immediately, the scripture says. The leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Hey? Now, does God have favorites? No. So if he did it for this guy, he'll do it for you. Hey, God does not have favorites. Jesus was demonstrating the heart of God wherever he went. And that issue of, is it God's will for me to be healed? This scripture and so many others point to the fact and the truth that God wants you well and he is committed to seeing you well. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You know, like, what happens though if you've got a long-term condition and it doesn't seem like anything's happening? You know, what happens if you've got a long-term condition? What do? Well, you stand in agreement with what he said. That's what you do. You stand in agreement. How do you judge whether you're healed? Are you healed because you feel better? No. You settle the healing in your heart first and foremost. God, this is what your word says, and your word is the truth. So if my body isn't agreeing, I'm not listening to my body. I'm listening to your word. You settle it, and then your body comes in line. Man, it works in every area, not just healing, but I mean, we're talking about healing right now. But you know, if you've got a condition for a while, here's another way that you can tell whether you're fully persuaded it's God's will for you to be healed. I remember when Joy was really, really ill, and particularly in the early days when we were trying to learn how this worked, there were some times we would just get overwhelmed by the situation. And certainly for me, there would be times where I would say, God, what are you doing? What's taking you so long? Well, what's wrong with that picture? That picture assumes that God's in heaven with his arms folded and that I've got to somehow convince him to heal my wife, that I love my wife more than he loves my wife, because if it was up to me, I would have healed her a long time ago, and why haven't you done it yet? Can you see that sort of thinking assumes that it's not always God's will? It was the wrong question. And that was one of the first things that we learned. We were asking the wrong question. If you ask the wrong question, you're not going to get an answer. What's the right question? If you are fully persuaded it is God's will for you to be healed and there is a lengthy delay, you do not come with an accusation to the master because you know it's his will. That's the wrong question. The right question is, God, I know you're right and I know it's your will for me to be well. And I can't see this manifesting. So I must be missing it. Where am I missing it? That's the right question. There's nothing wrong with that. I remember we came to a stage where, you know, it had been 9 months and we had stood. And there had been many changes in Joy's body, positive changes, but we couldn't see them. But the negative changes we could see and they were apparent. And after 9 months, Joy came to me and she said, I'm having trouble breathing. She said, you're going to have to pray. She said, we're missing this somewhere. She said, I don't want to pray because I don't trust myself. Maybe there's something, maybe I'm blindsided. Maybe there's something that's right in front of me and I can't see it, but you go and pray. It was the best thing she could have done, hey? She was only days, she only had a matter of days to live at that stage. And certainly when we took her to the hospital, that's what the doctor said, that she was going to die within a matter of days. But that was the best thing that she could have done. I got alone in the office and I just said, God, you're never wrong. You're never wrong about these things. You are right, you know, and it looks like we've done everything that you've said, but Lord, this has been 9 months now. Now we've learned some things about faith and we're not moved by what we see, but she's having some trouble breathing and we must have missed something. Surely something should be appearing to be changing. So give us some wisdom, Lord. Show us what it is, hey? I tell you what, you know, when you humble yourself and you go to God, He will show you. Hey, He showed us so clearly what the problem was. It was only a matter of minutes and He just showed me very, very clearly and I went and I talked with Joy and stuff. And anyway, the rest is history. And God is good, hey? Be persuaded it's God's will for you to be well. Number two, recognize that healing has already been purchased by Jesus for you. Recognize that healing has already been purchased by Jesus for you. You are not trying to get healing. You're not trying to get anything that Jesus has already died for. It's all been purchased. That's why Jesus said, it is finished. This is so important, hey? And what I'm actually sharing with you right now, you will not get through your mind. You can only get it by revelation in your heart. And the only way that can happen is go over this over and over. This is such an important issue. It makes it so easy to get anything from God when you realize He's already given it. You know, if you were to come and say, can I borrow your mower? And I said, yeah, no worries. Look, it's in the shed. I might be in and out, but just go in the back. Just go grab it. And just use it. So as far as I'm concerned, I've given you my mower, I've lent it to you, and you can have it. And if you came to me then after that, every day and said, can I please have your mower, please? Can I just use your mower? What am I going to say to that when I've already told you? It's like, well, I said to you. Or if I gave you a gift, whatever that gift is, let's say it was a Bible, I gave you a gift, you opened it up, and it's a wonderful thing, and it's like, and I've given it to you, and it's like, and you know, maybe it's a New King James, and then you come up to me the next day, can I have a New King James Bible? It's like, what am I going to say to that if I've already given it? I believe in some ways that's like our relationship with God. When we're going to God and we're saying, God, will you please heal me? And He's saying, I've given it already. I've already given it. Or we're saying, God, I need money. I need these finances. And he's, I've given it. You already have it. Every one of these things. Now, some of you are sitting there and you're going, well, I don't see it. If He's given it, I can't see it. See, there's the problem. You're judging it by what you see. The Bible says you walk by faith and not by sight. You need to understand this book is primarily a spiritual book. Everything God has given us, He has given it to us, and it is in the Spirit. It is just as real in the Spirit, as it's more real than in the Spirit, than what it is in the natural. But we're not trying to get healing. We're not trying to get prosperity. We're not trying to get these things. All we've got to do, He's given it to us. All we've got to do is just take them and manifest them in the natural. It's much easier to have something you've been given than trying to get something you don't have. Much, much easier. You need to understand this and settle this in your heart. Oh, I've got so many scriptures. Deuteronomy 28. I'm just going to show you something. Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28 is one of my favourite passages in the Bible. Many of you will probably disagree with me when I start reading it out. But I love this passage. Deuteronomy 28 verse 15, give me an oi when you're there. All right. It says, it shall come to pass if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Cursed shall you be in the city and cursed shall you be in the country. Cursed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body and the produce of your land, the increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flocks. Cursed shall you be when you come in and cursed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will send on you cursing, confusion and rebuke in all that you set your hand to do until you are destroyed and until you perish quickly because of the wickedness of your doings in which you have forsaken me. Oh, I love this passage. The Lord will make the plague cling to you until he's consumed you from the land which you are going to possess. The Lord will strike you with consumption, with fever, with inflammation, with severe burning fever, with the sword, with scorching, with mildew. They shall pursue you until you perish. We'll go on. There's lots of good stuff in there, but we'll go on and... Verse 27, the Lord will strike you with the boils of Egypt, with tumors, with the scab and with the itch from which you cannot be healed. The Lord will strike you with madness and blindness and confusion of heart. All right, verse 35, the Lord will strike you in the knees and on the legs with severe boils which cannot be healed, and from the sole of your foot to the top of your head. The Lord will bring you and the king whom you set over you to a nation which neither you nor your fathers have known, and there you shall serve other gods, wood and stone. You shall become an astonishment, a proverb and a byword among all the nations where the Lord will drive you. All right, and just in case, we'll go on just a few more verses. All right, here. Okay, verse 58, it says, if you do not carefully observe all the words of this law that are written in the book, that you may fear this glorious and awesome name, the Lord your God, then the Lord will bring upon you and your descendants extraordinary plagues, great and prolonged plagues, and serious and prolonged sicknesses. Moreover, he will bring back on you all the diseases of Egypt, which you were afraid, and they shall cling to you. And here's the verse that I wanted to get at. And also, every sickness and every plague which is not written in this book will the Lord bring upon you until you are destroyed. So just in case he missed anything, he put that last verse in. He was saying, he mentions all these things, these boils, these itches, these scabs, these things that are going to happen. And then at the very end, he just says, in case I've missed anything, in case there's nothing I wrote about, any other sickness that you can think of that's not recorded, that's what's going to happen to you. And the reason I love this passage is because it does not apply to you and I. Thank you. Thank you, Pete. This is good news. I love reading this because none of this applies to you and I. And let me prove it to you. This, what we just read, is called the curse of the law. It's the curse that comes from people who fail to keep the law. And go to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Give me an oi when you're there. Here's the good news. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham may come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, and that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Christ has redeemed us. It doesn't say Christ will redeem you. It doesn't say he's going to redeem you. It doesn't say one day if you're really good, he may just choose to think about whether he should redeem you. He says Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. The reason I love reading that passage in Deuteronomy is because I'm reminded with every single sentence that I'm redeemed from that. If I can find it in that passage, I'm redeemed from it. If you can find it in that passage, if you're failing in your business, if you're failing in your finances, find it in that passage and say, guess what? I'm redeemed from that. Guess what? I'm redeemed from that. Guess what? I'm redeemed from that. Every sickness that's not recorded in this book shall come upon. Well, I'm redeemed from that one as well. Christ has redeemed us. It's already done. My second point is recognize that healing has already been purchased for you. It's already been done. You need to get the revelation of this. This is so, so powerful, and it makes it so easy to receive healing. I remember there was a mighty woman of God by the name of Lillian Yeomans who lived about 100 years ago. She was actually a medical practitioner, and she came to Christ, and there was a massive transformation, and she began to minister to people in healings, not only through her medical practice, but also the gifts of healings. And God began to use her so powerfully in that, she actually began to move that, and she left medicine and just began to minister healing, because she just thought, that is far more effective, far more efficient. I don't have to get them to spend money on medicines or get nurses or anything like that. We can just do that. And so she and her sister were actually left an inheritance. So they bought a house, a large double-story house, and they converted it into like a healing house. And anybody who the doctors or hospitals had given up on would be sent there, because she had connections through the hospitals and word of mouth that just began to travel. And so they would bring the absolute worst cases to her. And there was one that I'd read about a little while ago, but I reread it last night, just kind of meditating on some of this stuff that I wanted to share with you. This lady who was in advanced stages of tuberculosis, and this is when there was no cure for tuberculosis in the medical field, and so they brought her. They'd referred her to Lillian Yeomans, and the ambulance brought her, and they carried her, and she was very close to death. She was finding it very, very difficult to breathe, and they took her upstairs into a bedroom that Lillian had instructed them, put her in there. And then when the ambulance had left, Lillian went up with her Bible and sat by her and just began to read out healing scriptures to her for the next couple of hours. Just reading out, didn't talk to her about anything, just began to read healing scriptures. Why did she do that? Well, there's life in the Word, isn't there? Hey, there's power in the Word of God. And she began to read out these healing scriptures. And then after a couple of hours, she showed her Deuteronomy 28, what we just read. And she found, and she showed her this one particular verse. I can't remember what verse it was, but it actually mentioned tuberculosis. And she showed her how tuberculosis was in that list. And then Lillian took her to Galatians 3:13 and said, now I want you to read this out. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. And so Lillian said, I want you to say it as much as you can think about it. I want you to say, according to Deuteronomy 28, tuberculosis is part of the curse of the law. But according to Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. She said, I want you to say that as often as you think about it. And she just left her. The next morning, she got up. She went to visit this lady in her room. She said, how you doing? Did you say what I told you to say? She said, oh, I think I probably said it 10,000 times. She said, I don't understand why you asked me to do that. She said, oh, I just want you to keep doing it. I want you to do it as often as you can. You just say, according to Deuteronomy 28, tuberculosis is under the curse of the law. But according to Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. She said, well, how much longer do I have to say it? She said, you keep saying it as often as you can think about it. All that day, this lady said it, as often she could think about it. The next day, Lillian went and checked on her. She said, how are you going with that? She said, oh, I'm fed up of saying it. She said, I don't get what you're trying to do. And she said, I want you to keep saying it. 3 days this happened. For 3 days, this lady kept saying this. According to Deuteronomy 28, tuberculosis is under the curse of the law. But according to Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Finally, on the afternoon of the third day, there was a scream from this bedroom upstairs, and they heard this running of rapid footsteps. This lady had jumped out of bed. She was on the point of death. She wasn't even strong enough to stand up, and she's running down the stairs, and she said, Sister Yeomans, guess what? And Lillian said, what is it? And she said, I've just discovered Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. I'm healed. What happened? She finally discovered it's already done. She's not waiting for God to do it. Suddenly the revelation dropped as she meditated on that and meditated on that. She got past what her body was saying. She got past what the doctors had said to her. And she got so focused on the truth that the truth set her free. She saw it. That's part of the curse. And that doesn't belong to me because I've been redeemed from the curse. You need to settle in your heart that healing is a done deal. It's already been purchased by Jesus for you. Oh, bless God. Man, that's such an awesome thing, hey? Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How am I going for time? Have I been... Can I share one more point with you? I've got 5 points. I might continue it on next week. But all right. The third essential, third essential of healing is you need to spend time with God. This is so important, you know, and I guess this relates back to what I was saying. Everybody's looking for a formula. Everybody's looking for, just show me these steps, hey. It's like, I don't know why. I think there's something in our flesh that just, we don't want to yield to what God wants us to do. But your spirit hungers for God. Spend time with God. Have a look at Hebrews chapter 4. You know, when you spend time with him, he's going to show you how you should proceed with the situation. And this is so, so important. If you've had a long-term illness or a life-threatening illness, this is so important. You need to know, like, if it's a minor thing, like if it's a flu or a cold or, you know, some sort of ache or pain, well, you can use some general scriptures on healing and just stand and activate that. And that's fine. That's easy to do. But if you've got something that's major, something that they have said, man, this is serious, you know, like this is incurable or something. You're going to have to really go before God and say, Lord, show me the way I should go. And he does. He has a way for you. And he'll show it to you. He wants you well. That's why he wants to show you. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Give me an oi if you're there. It says, seeing then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Spend time with God, because when you do, you'll obtain grace and mercy to help in time of need. God wants to help you. God wants to show you the path to victory. God wants to show you how you can get out of that situation. He wants to show you how to turn that test into a testimony, so that you can declare the goodness of God. So that when people come up and they go, didn't they say this about you? Didn't they say this? And they go, yeah, that's right. And God turned it all around. God wants to do that. He wants to show you off. But sometimes you're going to have to spend time with him to get a path from him and say, God, how do I approach this? What do I do about this? And there are some times in some situations, particularly life-threatening or long-term illnesses, where it could be there's just certain things that are hindrances that have stopped you in receiving, and you just need that wisdom from God. And that comes as you spend time with him. You know, if you're going to spend time with him, you need to be prepared to obey whatever he says. Yeah, this is another major reason why people fail. You know, in fact, Joy nearly died because of this reason. Is God was trying to get our attention about there was the presence of fear in this one area, and we weren't listening to it. We weren't paying attention to it. And you know what? If we didn't deal with that, she would have been dead. And there are so many times where we say, God, show me what I'm to do. And he'll show us something. And we think it's got nothing to do with what we're praying about. So we discard it. We become selective in our obedience. If you are selective in your obedience, you will miss what God has for you. Thank you for that one. Amen. It's so important. You cannot be selective in your obedience. What God is showing you has everything to do with your future success. I remember Micah when he was in high school, there was this, remember that, what was it, an infection on your knee. He had an infection on his knee and it started to, it was all pus and everything like that. And anyway, he asked us to pray. And so we prayed, we rebuked this thing and it went within a couple of days. And then it flared up again, started pussing up again. So we took him to the doctors. And we asked the doctor to have a look. And the doctor said, oh, well, you've got an infection. We go, yeah, well, obviously. And he goes, here, I'll give you some antibiotics. So he took some antibiotics. And he took these antibiotics and it went. And then when he finished the antibiotics, it came back. And then we took him back to the doctors. And he said, oh, well, obviously, I didn't give enough of it to you. Here, I'll give you a longer script. And so I gave him a longer script. He took it. It went. When he finished the course, it came back again. Now, we had prayed, and it had responded to our prayer, but it had come back. And then the doctors had tried it, and it had come back. And so there was something wrong. See, sometimes there's something that's blocking what you need from God. Hey. And so I remember I was praying this one day, and I said, Lord, what is it? What's going on here? What's the blockage here? We know we can see our faith is working. We know that it's not your will. What is going on here? And he actually showed me another student from school, a friend of Micah's. And so I went to Micah and I said, is everything all right between you and this person? And Micah said, yeah. And I said, are you sure about that? I said, because I'm getting something going on here. I said, if you need to sort out something with this person, sort it out. And sure enough, there was some unforgiveness there. And he sorted that out. And the moment he did, that thing left and it never came back. See, sometimes the area that God is speaking to you about is so connected with what you're believing him to provide. And you're going to stop and you're going to decide, I'm not going to be selective in my obedience. If you tell me this, even if I can't see how it's connected, I'm just going to do it. If we just did that, we would be so much more successful. Amen? Hallelujah. Spend time with God. Do whatever he tells you. Allow him to show you what scriptures to use. All right, we might leave it at that. Hey, I might continue this next week and finish it off because I don't think I'm going to get it all done this morning. Praise God. Let's stand up. Lord, we just thank you for your word. We thank you. Your word never fails. Your word is the truth. And it's sharper than any double-edged sword. Lord, we choose to be doers of the word. Everybody say after me, I am a doer of the word. I am a doer of the word. I don't just hear the word. I do it. I put it to practice in my life. And so the blessing of God flows in me. Amen. Praise God.
This message is distributed free of charge by the friends and partners of Transformers Christian Church. If you'd like to partner with us and help send this to others free of charge, then email info@transformers.org.au. Have a great day.